start off. The most formidable halakhic question that is precipitated by celebrating Thanksgiving is not the day itself, but of course is eating the turkey. As we just mentioned a moment ago, the Torah in Parsha Shmini provides us with simanim, with signs to differentiate between those animals that are kosher and those that one is not allowed to eat, between those fish that one is allowed to eat and those that he's not allowed to eat. But birds, the Torah does not provide us with any simanim. The Torah just gives us 24 birds, itemizes them, identifies them as being those that are prohibited, and the assumption is that all the others are permitted. The problem arises in that even though initially Moshe Rabbeinu presumably was given examples that were identified, these 24 birds to Moshe Rabbeinu, throughout the generations it becomes much more difficult to continue an awareness or knowledge of which birds are those 24 that are identified, that are singled out by the Torah as being prohibited. And to just rely on the same names from generation to generation is difficult, unless the names change, and unless one is an ornithologist to know the difference between this species and that species, which are somewhat similar, becomes difficult. So throughout the generations, it was somewhat lost. And in fact, the art scroll, if you look at the art scroll translation in Parashat Shmini of those birds that are prohibited, the art scroll just transliterates the names. It doesn't translate them for you and give you a species of bird. And that's based on the precedent of Rabbi Hirsch and his Chumash. He also just transliterates the names. He doesn't translate them for you. We have Arya Kaplan in his Living Torah Chumash gives you what is the best, you know, assumption, the best educated guess to what these birds are, but it's certainly not conclusive in any halachic sense, and not that convincing, therefore. So how do we differentiate between those birds that are permitted and those that are prohibited, if we're not necessarily aware of which those 24 birds are specifically? So the Mishnah tells us in Masech Deschul and Adaf Nuntes and Aleph, even though we don't have simanim for an oif provided for us by the Torah, nonetheless, Aval Amru Chachamim, in the middle of the first line, Kol oif hadoreis tamei, any oif which is a bird of prey is tamei, is prohibited. How do you know if a bird is a bird of prey? There are three simanim. Kol sheyesh lo ezba yaseir, if it has an extra toe, v'zekef, or a crop, v'korkovano, niklaf tahar. And if it has a korkovan, a gizzard, a pupik, which can be peeled away, if it has all three of those items, an extra toe, the crop, and the korkovan, which is niklaf, the gizzard, which can be peeled away, then one knows it is not an oif hadoreis, it is not a predatory, a bird of prey, and one is allowed to eat the bird. Where did Chazal know that all the 24 birds that are provided for us by the Torah as being prohibited are all birds of prey, and every bird that's permitted, every bird that's not a bird of prey is permitted? It never says that anywhere in the Torah. So Tosfos writes in Masechta Schulin that this was a Kabbalah from the days of Noach. The Shema Kabbalah Haisa Mimos Noach Shehikrav Mikol Oif Tahar Abadak Es Kulam. He became an expert zoologist, I guess, the first zoologist. And he knew which, he saw the common denominator amongst all those birds that are prohibited is that they are all birds of prey. How does one tell the difference between a bird of prey and not bird of prey? So the Mishnah gives us those three simanim. In fact, the Ramban perhaps offers an additional, explains the significance of the fact that all the birds that are prohibited are birds of prey. When the Ramban writes in Parsha Shmini, Ki atara hirchir kasu mepnei shadamu mechumam lachzaru yusom. Because they are cruel birds of prey. And therefore, says the Ramban, we shouldn't consume, we shouldn't ingest these kinds of birds, because then we will adopt those same characteristics perhaps ourselves. And the Ramban expands this theme to include chewing its cud and having split hooves. All of these represent harmful and negative character traits. And if a person eats them, then he could acquire those harmful character traits. So all birds that are birds of prey are prohibited, but writes the Ramban, if you know that it is not a bird of prey, vaday mutar. Question is, how does one tell if it's a bird of prey or not? So the Mishnah gave us in Chulin those three simanim, an extra toe, the zekef, the crop, and the gizzard, which is peeled away. The Balamar writes that there's another siman, which is, I presume, we developed in the time of the Rishonim. It doesn't appear in the Gemara, and that is if it has a big beak and webbed feet, like a goose, then you also know that it is not a bird of prey. Okay, so the Rishonim, and it starts with the Mishnah, give us perhaps indicators to how we could tell if it's a bird of prey or not. And it was a Messiah from the days of Noach that a bird of prey is prohibited, and all the birds that are not birds of prey are permitted. Nonetheless, it becomes difficult, even though Chazal gave us the simanim, applying the simanim seems to be not as easy as it sounds. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Schulin over here, Oiz Dalid, that there was a certain Tarni Goyla da Agma, a marsh chicken, or a chicken from the swamp. So the Gemara says, Tarni Goyla da Agma Asira. If it's a male chicken from the marsh, then it's prohibited. Tarni Goyla da Agma, if it's female, it's Sharia, it's allowed. So the simanech, just as a mnemonic, you know, it's similar to the halacha, not related at all, but amayni v'lay amaynis, that one is not allowed to marry, one of the people from the nation of Amon is not allowed to marry into Klal Yisrael, but that's only the males. Amaynis is allowed to marry, and as we know from Megillas Rus. So the male, Tarnigolta da'agma, was prohibited, the female was allowed. But the Gemara continues, Darish Meremar, Tarnigolta da'agma asira. No, later on they concluded that even the female was prohibited, because Chazyua, the Daris of Yochla, they saw that in fact it was acting in a very aggressive manner, like a bird of prey, and they prohibited it. So how did they permit it in the first place? Must be that they applied the simanim. They thought that it was not a bird of prey, and then they saw that it was a bird of prey, and they prohibited it. So they made a mistake. So Rashi writes, "Mitoch she'ein anu bekiyim bahem, since we're not, it's difficult to apply the simanim. Nirali da oif habolifaneinu, any bird that presents itself, yesh loyma the shema yidros, we have to be afraid, cautious. Maybe it is a bird of prey. Da hahach tarni gol to da agmai machzikim b'tahera. They thought it was tahar. V'achazman ruah shadayresis. Later on, they saw that it was more aggressive. Ve'ein oif nechol lanu el b'maseres oif shemasul lanu aveisenu b'tahar." We cannot eat any bird unless we have a Masaira tradition that this bird is not a bird of prey. V'shalai masu lanu, any bird that has no Masaira, yesh lochush. We have to be suspicious of a Masaira, yesh lanu lismach. But if you have a Masaira, you can rely on that. Kida amal lekaman sha'if tar necho b'masairas. Now that Gemara later on that says that a bird can be eaten with a Masaira is referring to a different case. That's referring to a case where it does not have simanim, but we have a Masaira that the bird is not a bird of prey. Not that, so we can rely on that lakula, even though it doesn't have the simanim, if we have a tradition, meaning it doesn't have the korkavan, it doesn't have the zekef. So it really doesn't have the simanim of a bird that's not a bird of prey, but we have a mesaira that is not a bird of prey, we can be makel to rely on the mesaira. So here mesaira is a kula, even though it doesn't have the traditional simanim, we can rely on the mesaira lakula. That's the Gemara later on. So Rashi uses that same argument, luchumra, that even if it has the simanim, we cannot rely on the simanim alone. We need a Masaira in addition to that. So that's much more than the Gemara said, applying the same logic of the Gemara in the reverse. Gemara added lukula. Rashi takes that Gemara and paraphrases it or uses the same argument, luchumra.
I was assuming that Tani Golta has the simanim?
We were assuming that they had, either they misapplied them, meaning they thought it did and it really didn't. But whatever it is, the simanim you see are not sufficient. So Rashi says, because they made a mistake, so Rashi says that it's not enough with the simanim alone. Everyone knew Masaira was good if it doesn't have the simanim. But Rashi is saying, even if it has the simanim, we can't rely on that alone. We need a Masaira in addition to that.
It's the same myth. One was a male, one was a female. They probably had the same simanim.
So they might. Oh,
how can one be kosher and one be...
That's a good question. That's a good question.
Female
was allowed. Huh?
Then the female.
The male was always us. So I was asking if they relied on the simanim, how did they... So maybe it was based on the tradition too. Maybe they... And the tradition was wrong. Or maybe they just assumed. I don't know. It's a good question. So how do we paskin lemaisa? So the Shulchan Aruch does not adopt the Chumra of Rashi. The Shulchan Aruch, and this is the practice of the Sfaradim, Yesh Aymim Sheko Oiv Shechartuma Rochav, has a wide beak, Vekaf Raglo, it has webbed feet like a goose. We have a tradition, or we know, that it is not doyres. And we can allow it if it has the traditional three simanim of the extra toe, the zekef, the crop, and the korkavan. However, the writes the Rama, you know, echoing Rashi, we cannot rely on these simanim, even if you add the siman of the wide beak and the webbed feet. So says the Rama, we have to adopt the Chumra of Rashi, that even if it has a simanim, that's not sufficient. One has to have a Messiah that that bird is kosher. And to rely on a name is also not really sufficient. Rav Moshe writes in Igros Moshe, the names change. If you, I, you could show 10 birds that are called pheasant. It's hard to know what which bird we have a Messiah on, and just relying on the name is not sufficient. You have to have, either have like a picture or to know in that community, we always shafted that animal. That's the practice of the Ashkenazim.
There's ducks. They sell in these places, you know. The,
yeah.
Legs.
Yeah.
And they
was the so. Yeah. They're trapers all over the place. Yeah. So the question becomes, when they came to the New World in the late 1400s, the Americas, so they were new birds that were introduced on the scene, which clearly did not have a Messiah dating back generations. The question becomes how to deal with these new birds. And one example, of course, perhaps the prime example, was the turkey, which is indigenous to South America, Americas. And it made its way back after Columbus came here and Cortez and brought things back to Europe. So they brought back with them the turkey. But it really is not indigenous to Europe. It's indigenous to America. In fact, I think Ben Franklin, this is an unsubstantiated rumor, wanted to make the national bird of the United States the turkey. And he writes in a letter to his daughter in the late 1700s, he was disappointed that the eagle was chosen, like the Ramban, because he says it has bad midos. It's a aggressive bird. Why do we want to have that as our national bird? I was very surprised by that. Anyway, so he wanted the turkey to be the national bird. So you see, turkey is indigenous to America. It only became called turkey in Europe because when it was first introduced, and made its way through Europe. So people thought it initially came from the Ottoman Empire, which is where many things came from. So the British called it turkey, and others called it Tarnigoholdu, which is an Indian turkey, or the Hendikahen, which means it's from India. So people either ascribed it to India or ascribed it to Turkey, but it was, in fact, from the United States. So how should we react? What is our perspective and opinion with regards to these new birds that are introduced on the scene that clearly did not have a Messiah dating back generations? So writes Rav Shlomo Kluger, was in the middle of the 1800s, in his Tshuvas HaElecha Shlomai, Al Dasha Alta Benidon HaOifes HaBoim in America, Hine Ani Oisram. He says he prohibited it. And he's relying on the Ramah. He says, "Vary came in the Anu Kaim when the Ain Soim Chan Al Shum Simin Rakam Masiris VeEin Lan Walei Masiris." We have no Masir with regards to these birds. And then he says, "Umasha Kasav to Hamatirin." That which the those who are permissive write, "Shahayek Sav Me America Sheyesh Lahem Masiris." That they say in America they have a Masir Heftzul Yiftzul PM. That this is totally insignificant and irrelevant to Halacha Lamaisa. Why? For two reasons, he says. The first is, even if in America there would be a legitimate, genuine Messiah, to adopt that Messiah now in Europe, based on the Messiah that existed in America, he said, is not a simple matter at all. In fact, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch says over here in Siman Pei Beisif Hei, Im Shar Mekaymes, She'en Lehem Messiahs, Yechaylem Le'ocho Asmach, Mokom She'esh Lehem Messiahs. Let's say one place has a Messiah that this bird is kosher. Can another place rely on the Messiah that existed elsewhere? So yesh misha oisiv, yesh misha matir. He quotes a Rashba that did not allow this. I'm sorry, a Rosh that did not allow it. Yesh misha matir, a Rashba that did allow.
This is the Beis
Yisrael. This is the Shulchan Aruch.
The Ramah Beis.
This is Shulchan Aruch.
But the Shulchan Aruch holds you don't need him, sir.
No, this was talking about an animal that has no simanim, but we have a Messiah that it's okay. There, everyone relies on Messiah. If you have a Messiah that it's okay, that's fine, even if it doesn't have the simanim. The Ramah applied required Messiah l'chumra. But he's talking about Masaira Lakula.
Do you have an example of that?
Where it doesn't have the Simana, but we have a Masaira that is allowed. I don't know any bird that we eat like that. But that they had such a Masaira. We don't have our traditions have weakened. They've been more diluted.
It's amazing that you have no example.
Right. I don't know. I mean,
States, yeah. No example.
So, but the Shulchan Aruch is talking about it has no Simana, Makurkavan, and all these things, but it has a Masaira. So can you rely on a Masaira of a different community? V'yesh locha shodivrei ha'oyser, says the Shulchan Aruch, no. So the truth of the matter is, the Shach there writes that he understood the Machlekes and we showed him differently. He says, really, there is no Machlekes. They're talking about two different cases, says the Shach. If our community has a Messiah that it's no good, and another community has a Messiah that it is okay, we can't rely on their Messiah to permit it here. We have a Messiah that's no good. But if we have no Messiah, we have no knowledge of this bird, and another community has a Messiah that it's allowed, says the Shach, so they have more information than we have. Why shouldn't we adopt their Messiah? So the Shach allows it. If we have no Masaira and another community has a Masaira, the Shach allows it. However, if Shlomo Kluger doesn't go for the Shach, if Shlomo Kluger says that the Shulchan Aruch didn't allow, Shulchan Aruch doesn't seem to give you that impression. He seems to assume there's a Machlekes here. There is no difference between not having a Masaira at all versus having a Masaira that it's a problem. He assumed that all were the same. So that's what Shlomo Kluger's first argument. Even if there would be a legitimate Masaira in America, he doesn't think it's so simple to adopt it necessarily in Europe. But then he writes in the fourth line, Ubar Mindain. He says, without this, even as, let's assume like the Shach, Hinei Matirim Marim Yimokum Tavi B'Yishu Miyomim HaKadmainim, when can you adopt a Masaira from another community here, is if they have a legitimate Masaira. You're talking to Yeshua Masairas, Mibale HaShasai HaGa'inim. It dates back to the Tanoim, the Amorim, or certainly the Ga'inim. Ve'gam B'zmanim HaYeroiv Yisroch Sherim, because then people were, by and large, were knowledgeable and Shemir Torah Mitzvahs, Ve'yikadai Lismach Aleim. It was something to rely upon. Ma'ashe Ein Kein Ata, Hine Medinas America. And then he goes on to say such nice things about America. But he says the American community was only, predated him by, 100, 150 years. It doesn't go back to Yomim Kadmainim. And he doesn't think that the people that, who initially settled in America were people who could establish a Masaira. So Shlomo Kluger is very suspicious of the Masaira regarding the Turkey, and even to adopt a Masaira elsewhere to America, to a different community, he doesn't think it's so simple. This has relevance. Huh? No, we'll get to it in a second. Very good. Excellent. Yeah, very good. So this has relevance to other birds as well. For example, nowadays there are those who, there are other birds that are presented, there's the partridge, the quail, the other birds, or the pheasant, which we don't have a strong Masaira on, and people have done research by talking to older sheikhtim in different communities to see if they have a Masaira on these birds or that bird. But to find a Masaira from one person, as far as a sheikhate somewhere in, one of those communities that are not in the same orbit as our communities, is questionable whether or not we could import that Masaira here. Even if one will find, like Rav Kapach, who was a well-known Sephardi Pesach in the Yemeni community, had a Masaira on different birds that they were allowed. But the problem is, adopting those or integrating those into our system is questionable, because they have, first of all, they didn't require a Masaira. Sephardim, the Shulchan Aruch, relies on Simonim alone. And his Masaira wasn't necessarily established based on the criteria and the standards that we would employ, we would generally accept for our Masaira. So the argument of Shlomo Kluger is not only relevant to Turkey, but to many other birds as well. Even if you find some far-flung sheikhet who has a Masaira, to integrate that into our system is definitely suspicious. So if Shlomo Kluger was of the opinion we should not allow Turkey, and he clearly did not eat turkey. And there were many tzaddikim throughout the last few hundred years who also refrained from eating turkey. I've been told that Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky himself did not eat turkey. I've been told also Rabbi Shmuel Kamenetsky doesn't eat turkey. His father didn't eat it. But then I heard... But then I was told that Rabbi Yaakov said it was his wife's chumrah, his wife's family. So he told the grandchildren they should eat turkey or something. I don't know. Maybe someone knows more about that. But there were always tzaddikim who didn't eat turkey because of this argument.
A lot of schools, because that's what they had and it was available. But if you have a choice between something which you know is good and a questionable new item,
then why get involved?
Because the Masorah sometimes are out of necessity.
Correct. Yes, we'll get to that in a second, right? The Netziv, though,
Are all 24 of those birds of prey that are specified in the Torah?
Except one.
The Chassidah.
Except one.
Because I was going to say, if a bird eats grain, it doesn't prey on other animals. How can it be a bird of prey?
But that one bird that's not a bird of prey is not found in our communities.
It's the one that...
We don't know where it is. Yeah, exactly.
Any Ashkenazim, Cholik, and Lashi's Chumrah?
The problem is it's accepted by the Rama. But we'll get to your point in a second. The Netziv, though, has a dissenting tshuva. The Netziv lived at the same time as Shlomo Kluger, same Kufa. And he writes, discussing the Muscovy duck, presumably, he writes in the last two lines with regards to turkey, V'teida sheheter ha'oif indik, which is the Indian turkey, Shanu Eichlim, that we all eat, it was assumed that we eat the turkey, or harbe ma'arim aleim b'shosh evim India. There were many who were opposed to when it first came from India. They didn't have a Masaira. The Gamoid Hayoim Yesh Mechmiru Parshmehem said that there were those who continued to refrain from eating it. The minig clearly is to eat turkey, and no one makes a big deal about it. The Humishum, why? Shekvar Huchzekula Hetera, it already be, acquired a chazak of being mutter, ve'ein raya la'osram. There's no conclusive evidence to prohibit it. What does he mean here that since we already started eating it, he writes at the beginning, if you would bring it to me now, I would have prohibited it. But people already started eating it, so therefore we can allow it. So this has been understood in three different ways by the community of Paiskim. How to understand our the minhag, prevalent minhag, of being makel to eat turkey. One possibility is, and this is a historical argument, is that the turkey came to Europe before the Ramah issued his psak that you need a Messiah. It's true, Rashi said generations before, that you needed a Messiah, but that didn't necessarily become normative halacha until the Ramah paskin that we need a Messiah. And the Ramah lived in the, was born in 1540, so he lived in the late 1500s. The turkey probably came to Europe in the early 1500s, already documented that it came in the early 1515, you know, around there. So the turkey predates the psak of the Ramah. So if that's the case, perhaps what the Netziv is arguing is that since it was here before the Ramah came, so the standard that we applied before the Ramah issued his psak that we need a Messiah might be different than after the Ramah issued his psak. That's just a mashal amad of a daima, huh?
Other poskim before the Ramah, the Ashkenazi community.
Yeah. So obviously they allowed it, but once the Ramah became...
The only one that didn't allow it.
I don't know, but we don't know what was before the Ramah. That was why he codified halachas in the Ramah. But just a mashal amad of a daima is the Gemara in Masechtas Chulin. The Gemara tells us in Masechtas Chulin that in the Midbar they were allowed to eat Basar Nechira. Basar Nechira is basar that wasn't shechted. Once they entered into Eretz Yisrael, they were not allowed to eat it. So the Gemara has a shaila in the middle of the end, of the middle of the first line. Bar Reb Yirmiyah, Basar Nechira Shechnisi Yisrael Iman La'aretz Mahu. What about the leftovers that they had from the Midbar? And they entered into Eretz Yisrael, allowed to eat the leftovers of the non-geshachted meat.
Yeah,
and so the Gemara says, teiku, we don't know. So ask the Rush, who cares? My dahava hava, this is a once in a one time in history shiloh where they allowed to eat the leftovers of the Besar Nechir when they entered into Eretz Yisrael. So the Rush says, no, it is relevant for our communities, for our times as well, because whenever Chazal asks or something with the Gzeira, what is the status of all the items, the leftovers that preceded the gzera, like bishul akum, he says, or chalav akum, there was a time when that gzera did not exist, and then Chazal instituted this gzera. What about all the leftovers? Or so too with regards, we could say with regards to the psak of the Ramah. The Ramah made a psak, you need a mesera. Until then, clearly, in the times of the Gemara, they were relying on simanim. Well, sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't. But Lamaisa, they relied on it to Simonim until the Ramah adopted Rashi's psak that we should require a Masaira. So the question becomes, what is the status then of the turkey that perhaps predated that psak of the Ramah? And perhaps that's one reason to be more lenient. Another argument or perhaps understanding of the psak of the Netziv and the prevalent custom to eat turkey is based on the Gemara Masechtas Chulin. The Gemara tells us Masechtas Chulin, Hashta Behemzun, so tzadikim, ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe takol al yadon, the famous story of Pinchas ben Yair, whose donkey would not eat from produce that had not had trumas and maizes removed from it. So you see, if his donkey wouldn't eat from Tevel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't allow the donkeys of tzadikim to eat from Tevel, certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu would not allow tzadikim to eat food that is treif. Taisa says, of course, Chazal do make mistakes. It doesn't mean we're infallible. But if something is being eaten in mass by tzaddikim, it has a assumed status of being permitted. How could a Kadosh Baruch Hu allow tzaddikim to eat this for so many generations? So turkey was being consumed for hundreds of years in Europe, argues in its if, must be that it's allowed. A third possible understanding of what the Netziv, or a reason perhaps to allow turkey, even though it has no Messiah, the Ramah told us we need a Messiah, we can't just rely on the Simanim. Even though turkey has no Messiah, perhaps the Ramah is concerned that even though immediately we can't tell if it's Dairis, we can't rely on the Simanim to tell us, to indicate to us if it's a bird of prey, if it's been with us for generations and generations, we see that it's not a bird of prey. So too, one could apply that argument to the turkey too. The turkey they were eating for hundreds of years in Europe, they observed it for hundreds of years. They saw that it's not a bird of prey. Already by the 1800s, they've been eating in Europe for 300 years. So they saw that it's not a bird of prey. So it says in its siv, we see it's not a bird of prey. Perhaps that itself establishes a Masera. Meaning perhaps a Masera doesn't mean it has to date back from the times of Chazal that this is not one of the 24 birds when it's closer to, the information that Moshe Rabbeinu had. Perhaps what Masera means is a tradition, not that it's not one of the 24 birds, but that it's not, or, more directly, that it's not a bird of prey. So if we could establish empirical evidence that it's not a bird of prey, you know, of the hundreds of years of being observed, then perhaps that is sufficient. And clearly that is the custom. Rav Moshe and his tshuva about Thanksgiving, whether it's a shaila of chukas akum or not, discusses eating turkey, and he doesn't even bring this issue up. So I've been told that Rav David asked him about it, and he told him, what are you talking about? In Russia, we ate turkey. So, I mean that's basically the argument of the Netziv is, Lamaisa, we did it. So if you want to understand that because historically the turkey predated the Ramah, or because Eina Kadosh Baruch Hu Mevi Takoa, the Behemdin Shel Tzadikim, they've been eating it for hundreds of years, or it already acquired a new Messiah. The fact that it's not a bird of prey, bottom line, it is permitted. There might be, though, a difference between the different reasons with regards to another bird, which was not as lucky as the turkey, and that is the Muscovy duck. The Muscovy duck is also indigenous, I think, to Southern America, and was not, though, brought back to Europe in the same way that turkey was, and it did not arrive in the early 1500s, and certainly was not eaten for generations. And therefore, the first really Paisik to address the Muscovy duck were the Paiskim, the early Paiskim arrived in America. There was a Rav from New Orleans named Rav Yisachar Dov Ilui. And in those days, you had unbelievable Talmidei Chachamim dispersed throughout the United States. I mean, today too, but you know, in those relatively unknown. And he had a smicha from the Chassam Sefer. And he was the first to deal with the issue of the Muscovy duck, a different type of duck. And he prohibited it because it had no Messiah. He sent the Shaila to Rav Shimshon Mepharel Hirsch, and he concurred that since it has no Messiah, we cannot allow the Muscovy duck. But that's what the Netziv was addressing. So the Netziv says, if you would have asked me about it initially, I would have said, no, there's no Messiah. But if it became the custom to eat it, so then he argues again, perhaps like the turkey is the standard, you know, we all see the example of the turkey that we allowed, even though it had no Messiah. So perhaps the Muscovy duck could be included under that same heading. So in the later 1800s, the duck was brought on a boat, a male and a female, to Eretz Yisrael, to Shmuel Salant. I think one of them died on the way, but one of them made it, either the male or the female. And that's the way the story goes. And he saw the bird, and he concluded that it was not a bird of prey, and he allowed it. Tzvi Pesach Frank, also in the Tshuvas Har Tzvi, allowed it, and particularly in the 1930s when food was scarce, the Muscovy duck became more popular in Eretz Yisrael. There were some hashgachas that allowed it. There were some, and there were some that didn't. And that was out of Yom HaZeh in Eretz Yisrael. There were some kashrus organizations that allowed it and some didn't. It stopped being used for the most. It was primarily used for foie gras, which is a delicacy of goose liver. But I think in about 10 years ago, it stopped being used entirely in Eretz Yisrael because they passed legislation against force-feeding ducks, and therefore the whole delicacy became impossible to produce in a profitable way, so they stopped using Muscovy ducks even in Eretz Yisrael. This became, though, an issue in America about 5 years ago when, by accident or on purpose, whatever, the Muscovy ducks arrived in Schluchthausen in Satmar community and in Pennsylvania also, and they slaughtered them together with the regular, with the old ducks. So, and then later on it was discovered that it was the Muscovy duck. It's a different type of, it's a different species, different, like turkey, chicken, this duck, that duck. To us, they're all birds. Right, but Lamaisa, there's a big difference. Yeah, it's a very different duck.
But the Sheikh didn't recognize it right away.
So that's some saying. Look, the Sheikh didn't even recognize it. How different could it be? But at the same time, when it was later discovered, so they made a big issue about it. And they argued that it not only does it not have a Messiah at the time, when this came out, but the arguments in the pamphlets that were circulating argued that the Muscovy duck is also a bird of prey. Because they had to, they had edus from farmers that the Muscovy duck eats mice and it eats rats and it eats rodents, but also eats small chickens or whatever, little chicks. So the question is, does that make it into a bird of prey? What is a bird of prey? So look over here, Rashi. Taisus and Masechtas Chulin. Over here, Aisidav quotes Rashi. What is a bird of prey? Sha'echiz b'tziparnama b'yamin akarka. It picks up the food off the ground with its claws. So says Taisvis, well, chickens do that too. So that's a bird of prey. Chickens, they knew were mutter, and that chickens do that also. So says Taisvis, no, what it means is that it kills it, it eats it alive. What was Rashi referring to? Rashi was probably referring to the difference between claws versus talons, which birds of prey have. If you ever seen like a documentary, they swoop down, pick up like this, you know, sheep or something with their claws. It's a whole different type of hand than a claw. So birds of prey have talons, whereas non-birds of prey have claws. So the fact that a chicken picks at it with its hands doesn't really necessarily, that's probably not what Rashi was referring to. But Taisa says bird of prey means that it eats it when it's alive. So they said, look, it eats rodents when it's alive. So the truth of the matter is that so do chickens. Chickens also eat rodents. And the fact that it eats some things when it's alive doesn't make it into a bird of prey. The Beis Yosef already quotes from the Rashba, B'Shem Rabbeinu Tam, over here, Oisid Beis, that even chickens ate bugs and ate worms that were alive. And that didn't make it into a bird of prey. It really has to do with differentiating it from the chicken that we knew was allowed. Again, we're not discussing psukim in the Torah. We're discussing these clues that Chazal gave us to figure out which are those birds that were permitted, which are not. So bird of prey doesn't mean that it preys on anything like worms or bugs. It means that it fits into the category that's not similar to the chicken. So if a chicken does it, then it certainly can be allowed, and chickens also eat these rodents. And whether or not it's a bird of prey or not, in America, Lamaisa, is the custom is that we don't eat the Muscovy duck. Some have argued that it should be allowed, again, based on a different source, empirical evidence. And that is, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Becheiros that a trefa animal and a kosher animal cannot crossbreed. So if an animal becomes impregnated by, this animal, we could assume that it's, if a kosher animal becomes impregnated, can breed with this animal, we could assume that it is kosher. Because non-kosher and kosher can't crossbreed. Even with that, the Gemara says that they can't crossbreed. So maybe even if they have no simanim, so the Avnei Nezer allowed turkey for this reason, because turkeys can crossbreed with chickens. So the Netziv disagreed with that. That was the reason why the Avnei Nezer allowed the turkey. Not like the Netziv, Lamaisa, were already eating it. He said, no, look, the Gemara says in Becheiros that they can't crossbreed if one is kosher, one is straight. So first of all, the Chassam Sofer says that's only by animals, not birds. Okay? That's against Avnei Nezer. So Avnei Nezer said it's even by birds. But the Netziv argued, no, it has to mean that they naturally crossbreed with one another. You put them in the room together and they'll breed together. Not that you forcibly crossbreed them. And the turkey and the chicken don't naturally crossbreed. They might be forcibly crossbred, but they won't. They don't do that. They don't do that naturally. So, question: how far to accept this Gemara in Maseches Becheiros? How relevant is it to the Muscovy duck? Some felt that this is reason the Muscovy duck does crossbreed with kosher animals, kosher birds. So maybe that's a reason to allow it. Maybe it's not. The bottom line is: in America, most kosher organizations accept turkey and not Muscovy duck. And the difference is because the Muscovy duck, I like to say, it was not as lucky. The turkey made it there hundreds of years before, and the Muscovy duck did not, and therefore didn't fall under a lot of the same arguments that exist by the turkey do not exist by the Muscovy duck. One final issue where this is relevant to the Gemara Mechairis and the whole discussion of Mesira is with regards to animals. Even though the Torah provides us with simanim, some feel that you need a Mesira by animals too. The Shulchan Aruch says that there are two types of animals. Animals, of course, we know, chews its cud and has split hooves, then it's kosher. However, there are two types of animals. There's a chaya and a behema. And with regards to the simanim, they're the same, but chaya, it has no prohibited fats, where a behema does. And chaya, if you shecht it, you have to do kisei adam. Whereas opposed to behema, there is no mitzvah kisei adam. You don't have to cover over the blood of a behema, but you do buy a chaya. And how do you tell the difference between a chaya and a behema? The Shulchan Aruch gives us simanim, gives us signs. So writes the Shach, and that's if, Ulafisha ain't lano ata lamasha kibal nubi mesiris. We only have that which we got in the Mesira, so it should be like birds. Gabi simane ha'oif. The animals should be like birds. What does he mean that animals should be like birds? That you need a Mesira? Does he mean you can't eat an animal anymore just relying on the simanim? You need a Mesira? So the Prima Gadim says that cannot be what he means. The reason we needed a Mesira by birds, you might confuse a bird of prey with a non-bird of prey, we misapply the Simanim. There's no confusion with regards to choose its cut and split hooves. That's obvious what choose its cut and split has split hooves. Rather, the Prima Gadim says what the Shach means is just like we needed a Mesira by birds to differentiate between a Chaya and a Behema, you need a Mesira. But not to allow the animal in the first place, you don't need a Mesira. If it had split hooves and chooses cut, then it's allowed. That's how the Prima Gadim understood. You can't eat the prohibited fats, Elo B'Mesiris. You can't do the mitzvah of Kisei Adam with a bracha without a Mesira. But not that you can't permit the animal in the first place. But the Chayei Adam understood the Shach, perhaps Kepshutai, perhaps not Kepshutai, but understood the stach to mean that you cannot permit any animal without a mesira, just like birds. And the Chazon Ish writes as well, we should adopt the opinion of the Chaye Adam. He was the Pesach Hadar. We have enough meat, he says, with the cows, the goats, and the sheep. We don't need extra animals. So Chazon Ish says, you cannot permit even animals unless a person has a Mesira. This became a major issue in the 1950s in Eretz Yisrael with regards to the Zibu. The Zibu is a cattle that has a hump behind its head, as opposed to our types of cows. And it was indigenous, I think, to India, brought to later to Brazil, and then to Eretz Yisrael. Could you allow the zebu, which is a tougher type of meat, but perhaps easier to raise? So it made its way to Eretz Yisrael. So the Chazon Ish, that's what he was writing about. We cannot allow the zebu. We don't have a Messiah on the zebu. And Rabbi Herzog was the chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael at the time, argued with the Chazon Ish. He accused him of being over on Baal Taisif, of adding Isurim to the Torah. We rely on the Simanim, and the Zibu has split hooves and chews its cud, and therefore Rabbi Herzog allowed it, Rav Vosner allowed it, to a credible part, many, many Gedolim on the other side who allowed the Zibu, but the Lamaisa, in the end of the day in Eretz Yisrael, as we know, oftentimes the Psak of the Chazon Ish carries the day, and therefore the Zibu became a very controversial animal in Eretz Yisrael. But it's relevant here in America too, not only with regards to the Zibu, yes, by themselves they crossbreed, the zebu crossbreeds, but also the American bison, which is a different type of animal than the European buffalo, which they ate. The American bison is a different type of animal. So there's no mesiras, the same issue as the zebu. The only thing is, here in America, most kashrus organizations do give a hashgacha on the American bison, because even the Chazon Ish was hesitant about the zebu. He never really saw one. So he wasn't sure how different it was than the traditional cattle. He himself writes, he's not sure how different it is. I don't know. So the so if it's not so different and they do crossbreed, so then perhaps there is reason to allow it, because Lamaisa, it's not that different than the animals which we did eat, and perhaps we don't accept the whole concept of the Messiah by animals. But one final thing is that, but that's true with regards to bison and perhaps the zebu. In Eretz Yisrael, they don't eat the zebu, and it really never made it in America. It's not as tasty as the cow. But bison has, will find here, and most kashrus organizations do give hashgacha to bison. But what is not as simple is the giraffe. The Pasuk tells us in Parashat Re'eh that one of the kosher animals is a zemer, which the Radak writes is the giraffe. But many Rishonim disagree and say it's not the giraffe. So a giraffe, many thought you can't shecht because it's too difficult. In fact, it's the easiest animal to shecht. It has the longest neck, the easiest animal to shecht. It's a misconception. So it's the easiest animal to shecht. The problem is we have no Mesira on giraffe. And to say, well, giraffe is the same as something else that is kosher, you don't have that easy argument like you have by the American bison. Maybe it's no different than European buffalo. Maybe the zebu is no different than cattle. So even if one will be makel by the buffalo, which the Chazon Ish might have been machmir on, but most kosher organizations assume you don't need a messer on animals, but perhaps there's a different mitigating circumstances there. Perhaps it's no different than the European buffalo, but to allow giraffe, I think it's a much bigger leap, because there you have to really take a side in the machlekes where you need a mesira by animals. You can't say, well, it's included in some other mesira. A giraffe is totally different from everything else.
Do bakeys set down by bison?
I don't know. Okay,
they didn't eat bison in the 1800s. Were there a lot of bison here?
Yeah.
Early Jews didn't eat bison.
Bison birds.